WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Monday morning, and it is still chilly out there right now. It is looking at the 37 degrees, but it is bright and sunny. And of course, when it's bright and sunny, I think about the people out there who are still thinking about going solar. And don't forget that the tax credits for going solar, they end at the end of this year. So if you're thinking about doing it, now is the time to have the conversation with Isaacson Solar to find out if going solar is right for you. And if it is, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote. If it's not, that's fine. They're happy they could answer your questions. But you can check them out by going to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. And it is time now for our weekly conversation with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. We got a caller calling in here. Let me just see if that's... Oh, nope, she dropped off. Okay. I was going to say if that was for you or if that was just a separate conversation. So how was your weekend? How was your week?
It was good. It went by pretty fast. I cut my foot at home.
Oh, no.
I never realized how debilitating a cut to the bottom of your foot is until you're required to walk around on it. And it's healing nicely, though, thankfully. But I guess I was a bit dramatic at first because it wouldn't stop bleeding.
Well, yeah, because all the blood flows down there, and yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. So it's just I had a lazy weekend, I would say, for the most part. But it was nice to kind of relax, especially after an exciting, obviously, campaign. But overall, it was nice weather as well, and looking forward to the week ahead.
I want to ask you, so there's, as we know, Ward 2 Councilor Maria Giesta has requested a recount. Do you know when that's going to happen?
I don't believe an official date has been set just yet. The Election Commission will put that out at some point.
And let me ask you, you may know this, you may not know this. It might be a question for the mayor on Wednesday, but that's just something that's part of their regular job duties, right? That doesn't cost the city extra money, does it?
I believe there is some extra cost that is involved. For example, there'll be like a police detail that needs to be posted.
Sure.
But other than that, I believe it's very minimal cost involved, because obviously, like, the election commissioner that will be there, he's a salaried employee, so he won't be getting any extra pay. But yeah, I believe for the detail, and I believe some of the election workers,
the poll workers,
yeah, that will be there to on staff that will be pulling out the poll. I mean, not the polls, the ballots. But other than that, it's all volunteers from the respective campaigns that will be there as observers. So other than that, it's not going to be a huge cost to the city.
And certainly a close election like that, it's somebody's right to ask for a recount.
Only especially 17 votes.
Yeah. And as I was saying last week, you know, you owe it to your supporters, people who, you know, put up money for you, people who put mm-hmm. up time for you to fight every last bit and to say, you know, I want to make sure, I want to be certain.
Yeah, and I think just overall when it comes to the conversation around election integrity that we keep having, I think it's important to showcase how excellent our machines are. You know, people often question, you know, the electronic reading of these machines. And I do believe that our machines do a very good job, but occasionally they may misread or not read a bubble that's not fully colored in. And that's essentially what the hand recounting will do, is for any possible error. They're very few and far between, but it does happen, especially when you're looking at something as close as 17 votes. We just saw it happen in Fall River, where I believe the candidate, Gabriel
Boomerang.
Yeah. He I think, gained 6 more votes. I shouldn't say gained, but there was a difference, a gap, where the gap shrunk by 6 votes between him and mayor-elect, or current mayor, Coogan, but in that particular race. There is a potential where it's a very small fragment, but that was obviously citywide, where it was a 6-vote difference. This is a smaller ward race, but in that case, 6-vote difference in a 17-vote race, you never know.
And as you said, it's usually that people didn't fill out the bubble. You know, there might be partially filled or a dot or something.
Yeah, and the other consideration, you have to take in the fact that the ward race, I believe, was the last on the ballot to vote in. You had assessor first, then school committee, then councilor at large. So you're, you know, potentially voting obviously just once for assessor, 3 times for school committee, 5 times at max for council at large. And then by the time you get to the ward race, you're kind of like, oh, okay, I filled in so many bubbles. You know, there is the potential there that someone haphazardly just kind of put a dot or didn't fill it in all the way. So then when the machine's reading it, they read it as a blank. Because there was, I think that's the other question here, is there was 35 blanks made in the Ward 2 race. So it's a question of, were those blanks actually blanks, or were they meant for one of the respective candidates?
And I talked to a poll worker in Wareham once a long time ago who said, it's amazing how they give you the clear instructions mm-hmm. on the ballot, and so many people will still go in there and like make a check mark in the bubble instead of filling
or
in the bubble.
Things like that, yeah.
So who knows? I mean, again, 17 votes doesn't sound like a lot, but 17 votes to have, you know, not accurately counted, that mm-hmm. does sound like a lot.
So. And I think it also just highlights how close local elections are. And I think it just, it helps or like really emphasize that people in local elections should get out and vote more, because your voice is even more amplified here. You know, I guess we beat that drum so often, but, you know, your local government is going to affect you a whole lot more than your federal government. I think, you know, people see it more. It's, you know, more national news and more national attention to, you know, your Congress, people who represent you in Congress, or your president. But at the end of the day, it's your mayor, your city councilors, your school committee members that all represent you closely here every day. Who's going to pick up your trash? Who's going to fill your potholes? Who's going to turn on your streetlights and things like that? So when there's a 17 vote difference, that's really what's going to hit you the most. So your one vote really makes all the difference.
And not that it should matter, because you should treat all constituents the same, but you know, if you go and tell Liz Warren, hey, I'm not going to vote for you, she's like, yeah, okay, great, fine. Like, and a lot of people are. But if you tell a local counselor, hey, I'm not going to vote for you, they're going to want to have a conversation with you and say, well, why? What is it? Mm-hmm. And then you can have that conversation and come to a common ground.
Exactly. Because every vote does matter.
So I also want to get your thoughts on the passing of Bruce Oliveira on Friday. Some surprising mm-hmm. news. I said earlier, I didn't really get a chance to interact with him very much. But in my experiences, he was always a great guy, and everybody says the same thing about him. He's somebody that really did care about the children of New Bedford.
Not just the, you know, everyone. It's just mm-hmm. There's not enough that you can say about someone like Bruce Oliveira. I obviously only really got introduced to him through his work with the school committee, but having learned about him and how much he was involved in really every fabric of this city was truly remarkable. And I think one of the special things for me was getting to work with him in opposition, which sounds funny, but what I mean by that is he's someone that you can disagree with without being disagreeable. And so I always respected that about him. And it's very hard to come across in politics, is someone who might be angry with what you're doing or how you're voting with something, but he'll still shake your hand. He'll still be respectful. And at the end of the day, he knows that the city needs to run, that, you know, things need to get done. And that's what he cared about. He cared about New Bedford moving forward, about people in New Bedford getting the best that they can receive. And so whatever way possible, he wanted to contribute to that. And so, you know, that was always remarkable, getting to see that happen in action, whether that happened in, you know, school committee votes, in those kind of meetings, or through his work with the Greater Southeastern Massachusetts Labor Council, his work with the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick, the Boys and Girls Club were I imagine they're still going to be honoring him posthumously later this month at their steak and dinner, steak and burger dinner at Century House. And so someone like him, you know, you don't, it's hard to put into words someone like Bruce Oliveira, but he thankfully will live on through the kind acts that he has put out there, the work that he has done that will live on for generations.
Absolutely. And I also want to ask you, because we didn't get a chance to really get into this too much last week. We were up against the clock after we got a bunch of phone calls. But I wanted to ask you more about the situation with Mayor Mitchell sending the chief before the council. You had the vote on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It was referred to appointments and briefings. Councilor Carney said it'll be on the December agenda. So my big question here is, you know, this is what the council was wanted, what the council was looking for, but does this solve the problem that the legal action would have solved, where it would have been determined what the procedure is going forward? Like, you're going to get this chief before you, but there's no guarantee that the next chief will go before you unless that language is clarified.
It's a good question. It is something that some of my colleagues were concerned about when we were initially discussing this, essentially this deal of whether or not the mayor would send it down to us now, and if we would withdraw the court filing. Our essential landing on it was that this essentially sets precedent moving forward. And then I guess the other thought process is if and when, if it's this mayor still or another mayor, whoever, or another chief that does happen, we're willing to, again, defend the council's position. And if we need to, we'll go, if this mayor or what next mayor decides to continue to dig their heels and not send it down for confirmation, we'll go through the same steps if we need to. But we're hoping that, unlike what happened in this case, the mayor will send down the confirmation. It seems so silly after all this time, as we saw, that you just end up doing what we wanted to do months ago, what was inevitable, essentially. But no, that is a fair question to ask. It doesn't necessarily clarify, but the concern became, if we proceeded with the courts, now that the mayor had relented and said, yes, I'll send it down for your confirmation, is there was no conflict now, because the conflict that we presented was, oh, the mayor's not allowing us to confirm and review this appointee. But then if we went, the mayor would say, hey, look, I did. I sent it down. I asked for their approval, their confirmation, and they gave it to me. And if he did send it down, and let's say we rejected it back and said, no, we're waiting for a court first, we're not going to confirm him, then essentially the court say, well, he was trying to do it, and right, you purposely caused this conflict just so you could try to have some court battle. So this was, in our mind, just as I think the mayor alluded to in his letter, the best way to not drag up more city resources, which again, we wanted to avoid in the first place. But for whatever reason, the mayor, I think, was attempting to call our bluff, I guess. You'd have to ask him what the reason was behind dragging this along all this time just to end up doing what we asked for months ago. I don't know if, I think you had asked me this question a while back, if he was potentially waiting out my presidency or waiting out the election, because it was kind of interesting that he sent it out to us on November 4th, which was election day. But either way, I'm glad, you know, for example, our colleague, Councilor Morad, apologized to the candidate and, you know, obviously the current acting Chief Thody, essentially, because I think that's the one part that I really want to emphasize here. And I was thankful to my colleague, Councilor Morad, for emphasizing the fact that this gentleman's been caught in the middle of all of this. And it's one of the things that, you know, when I did call him, and I think I might have mentioned this back before I had pursued the declaratory judgment, I had reached out to him just so he was aware that this was never about him as an individual, but more so about the process. And during that conversation, he was aware of the confirmation process. He himself had mentioned this is the process he followed in Hartford, Connecticut, but when he was appointed there and he went before the city council, he was sent by the mayor of Hartford to be confirmed by the council. And so he was completely fine with doing it here in Bedford.
And probably expected it too, because as we talked about, the mayor said back in the spring that he was going to be going before the council. Whoever was selected would go before the council for confirmation.
Yes. So, you know, I told him too, I knew at the time he was moving here with his wife and they were looking for housing. And so I just wanted to reassure him that no matter which way the declaratory judgment shaped up, he would be the chief, because I didn't want him, obviously, I could only imagine coming here, moving your family here, and you're like, do I have a job? Do I not have a job? So I did want to make sure that he knew coming here, you know, don't worry about that. Come to New Bedford. We're friendly. You know, obviously it's a bit chaotic here right now between the mayor and the council because of the relationship that the mayor has shaped with us. But I don't want you to think that it has anything to do with you. But I was thankful that our colleague, Council Morad, had offered that public apology to him, because I'm sure that you won't see one from the mayor's office for dragging this out for unnecessary reasons.
And so now this will happen in December. He'll come to the appointments and briefings meeting?
I believe that's when the chair, Naomi Carney's the chair of our appointments and briefings. I believe that's when, because we do have an appointments and briefing meeting coming up this week, but by the time this was referred, that meeting agenda had already been decided. So I believe she has initiated it to be presented to the December meeting.
And then, so this would happen in that meeting, but then it still has to be referred to the full council afterward.
Correct. And then so after that meeting, it will be referred to the full city council. And at that point, he'll finally be sworn in. And so I think that's the other part, too, that's, you know, kind of interesting about the mayor, who keeps insinuating that he's been the chief this whole time. And, you know, if they want to hold a vote, they can hold a vote. It'll make them feel better. But yet he hasn't sworn him in. And so I think that's the part that I think is important here, is we've been wanting to make sure it's done accurately. We don't want to rush through any process here. We want to make sure it's done accurately. So we will screen him, which, again, I've been saying all along, as someone who's essentially an outsider coming into New Bedford, Hartford, Connecticut is pretty comparable to New Bedford. And Chief Thody has presented to us a one-year plan, essentially, which he'll go through during his screening process, of a lot of it that comes from the Jensen Hughes proposal. And it's kind of a timeline over the year of what they want to start to try to implement from that report. He's already begun changing the way that they operate a lot of their, whether it's foot patrol, bike, having officers on bikes and opening up downtown. I think it's Officer Vieira in the substation, at the bus station. Those little changes. But, you know, there might be other questions for Chief Thody around just overall morale at the police, with the rank and file police officer. So I think this will be a great opportunity, as silly as it might seem, to screen someone who's obviously been doing the job for however many months. In some ways, it will be essentially used as kind of a midway review. I don't have any doubt in my mind that my colleagues will see that he is a great candidate. And again, it's comical to me that the mayor has dragged his feet all this time with a good candidate. There was no reason to have done this way. I think, again, I'll reiterate the fact that Mayor Lang himself, who also when he was serving as mayor, felt the same way, that the council didn't have confirmation authority, but said, hey, out of respect to your role and your position, I'm going to send it down, and avoided all of this chaos and the drama and unnecessary reactions that have occurred. But this particular mayor, because he doesn't know how to come to consensus or to work with other people, and it's his way or the highway, refused to do that until legal action was threatened, and then he relented.
All right, we got to take a break here. Then we can take some calls after the news. 508-996-0500. We'll be back with City Council President Shane Burgo in just a few moments.
The following is a paid advertisement from the New Bedford Police Union, who is asking for your support while they negotiate for a fair contract for better education and training programs for their officers, new police equipment and technology, and for safe police staffing levels. They can't do this alone, so please support public safety and your brave New Bedford police officers while they keep this great city safe. For more information, visit the New Bedford Police Union Facebook page or website, newbedfordpoliceunion.org.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family. A vote on the Epstein files happening tomorrow. The FAA lifting flight restrictions and gearing up for holiday travel.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Federal employees are working again after the government shutdown has ended. The White House reportedly has urged federal agencies to send paychecks as fast as possible to employees who have been without pay. Some are expected to get their checks soon. Meanwhile, airlines saying they're ready to shift back to full operations once they get the clearance from the federal government.
Flights will resume operations as normal. A reduction in flights at 40 major airports nationwide began a week ago, meant to address fatigue and staffing issues among air traffic controllers as the record-long government shutdown continued. According to a news release, the decision was made following an FAA review of safety trends and due to the steady decline of staffing trigger events in air traffic control facilities. I'm Rob Martier.
The House is set to vote tomorrow on a measure to require the Department of Justice to release all of the Epstein files. Many Republicans are expected to vote yes. If the measure passes, it will go to the Senate, where it will face an uncertain future. If enough Republicans approve the measure, it will go to the president's desk for his signature. President Trump has called the Epstein files a Democrat hoax. The U.S. Southern Command says another strike on an alleged drug boat in the Eastern Pacific was carried out over the weekend. Three people killed in what was the 21st strike the military has done on alleged drug boats. Southern Command's post says Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth directed the strike, saying it took place in international waters on Saturday. A 22-year-old man is in critical condition in Greece after attempting to swallow a burger whole.
The man, whose name has not been released, made the attempt during a meal with friends in Karopi Thursday. He has since been placed on a ventilator. The man reportedly stopped breathing for 2 minutes. His airways were obstructed, leading to severe complications affecting his brain, kidneys, and other organs. Local police are investigating the incident, and they're seeking footage from the restaurant to determine if anyone encouraged him to attempt the stunt. I'm Jim Roop.
New data from the RV Industry Association says 28 million Americans plan to travel by RV this holiday season.
For Thanksgiving, over 9 million plan on taking RV travel, and 7 million are expected to hit the road over Christmas. Nearly 4 in 10 leisure travelers say they plan to take an RV trip in the next year. I'm Lisa Carton.
Police are investigating an overnight shooting that left New York's Jet cornerback Chris Boyd in critical condition. According to the New York Post, the 29-year-old NFL player was shot in the abdomen outside of a restaurant in Midtown Manhattan around 2 a.m. Police say they're looking for a man who fled the scene in a blue BMW. Boyd signed with the Jets in March but has been on injured reserve. He originally played for the Minnesota Vikings and spent time with the Arizona Cardinals and the Texans. The most popular Thanksgiving side dish in America has been revealed.
According to the survey, State of the Sides by Campbell's, stuffing remains the most popular side dish this Thanksgiving. Mashed potatoes came in second place, followed by sweet potatoes, mac and cheese, and green bean casserole. The survey says 63% of Americans prefer sides over turkey, and nearly half say they would be happy with no turkey at all and just a plateful of sides. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The Times Square New Year's Eve celebration still a month and a half away, but officials are unveiling a new ball that will drop at midnight to ring in 2026. Here's Scott Pringle.
There's going to be a ball-raising ceremony Monday to show the public the ninth version of the ball since the Times Square's New Year's Eve celebration tradition began in 1907. This new ball is more than 5,200 Waterford crystals. It's nearly twice the amount of its predecessor. It also features circular crystals for the first time.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Bruins host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7, and the Celtics are back in action with the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow at 7:30.
Now, your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Well, dry, colder weather next several days. Very windy today with lots of sunshine. High temperature only 45, but winds gusting over 35 miles per hour will make it feel colder. Clear, breezy tonight. Late night temperatures down to 32. More sunshine for Tuesday. Breezy and chilly with a high of 45. Dry skies on Wednesday with less wind and highs in the upper 40s. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts. WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, we are back with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo, and we are taking your calls at 508-996-0500. App chat messages on the WBSM app as well. And I wanted to ask you, Council President Burgo, I don't know if you had a chance to see the New Bedford Light piece yet, but there's a review of 1 year of the body cams, the body worn cameras with the New Bedford Police Department. What are you hearing from the police department and from those involved with it about the way that they've taken to these body cameras?
Yeah, I think that for the police officers as well as us elected officials, we think it's money well spent. It's a comfort, I think, mostly for our officers, especially in situations where individuals might accuse them of misconduct. It's a added layer of protection, not only for the police officers, but also for the citizens to know that everything's being recorded, that anything that could go wrong is being documented, so that way people are held accountable. So I think, again, on both sides, whether it's officers or citizens are being held accountable for any anything that could possibly go wrong. So I think overall it's been positive feedback. Obviously, if you're the one being caught doing something wrong, you're not too happy about it. But overall, it's been really great to see and be implemented in the city. And I'm glad to have worked with my colleagues to make sure that that was properly funded. And I hope that it continues.
And as you mentioned, like, we saw an instance where a police officer was wrongfully accused of mistreating the public, mm-hmm. and the body camera footage proved that that wasn't the case. And having that documentation is huge for that, because that helps build trust with the police department, because so many people saw that original post and were like, of course, you know, typical. Yeah, of course, get rid of her. And then when they saw the video, they said, wow, this was really mischaracterized, which, again, you know, people get in the emotions of the moment. They might not be remembering everything exactly how it happened. The footage gives you the opportunity to see exactly how it played out.
Well, especially because oftentimes the clips that we get on social media are usually at the end of something or the beginning or just a very small snippet of an escalation of sorts. So, yes, it is great to finally get the full context behind what transpired to lead to that, you know, viral moment that someone might have posted out of context. So yes, exactly to your point, this is why it's so important to have not only the visual, but the audio as well included with it. Because again, it gives everyone the full picture of, well, this is what happened, this is what was said, this is why everything that led up to that, you know, clickable viral moment that social media decided to post. So yeah, we've seen it here in New Bedford, especially with certain individuals that I won't get into, but yeah, I think that and so many other reasons why it has been very beneficial.
And it's good too that the police department has been, you know, it's been an evolution of the policy, because it's not just here's what we came up with and these are the rules we're going to follow. They're, you know, reviewing it and seeing how it all works, and then also taking into account, you know, Jensen Hughes recommendations, 21st century policing recommendations. So they're not all of them, but the ones that they feel make sense, they're saying we're going to start implementing this as well. So that that has become a malleable policy that they can change depending on, you know, how they're actually used out in the field.
Yeah.
So 508-996-0500 if you have a question for the city council president. While we're not up against the clock, let me ask you about what's coming up on the calendar here.
Yes, so tomorrow is a very important meeting, I would say, for the taxpayers of New Bedford, is our tax classification meeting that will be held at City Hall. That's tomorrow, Tuesday, November 18th. At 6 p.m. Obviously, if you can't make it to City Hall to view that, you can always view that online live on our city website through meetings. And then later on in the evening at 7 p.m. after our tax classification hearing is our appointments and briefings meeting at 7 p.m. And then on Wednesday night, November 19th, we have our Committee on Finance at 7 p.m. And on Thursday night, November 20th at 7 p.m., our Committee on Ordinances. So again, three nights this week. We have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. All 3 weeks we have council meetings, appointments and briefings, Committee on Finance, and Committee on Ordinances, all at 7 p.m. And then again, that big meeting at 6 p.m. tomorrow night is our tax classification, where we set the tax rate for residential and then commercial base.
And just remind everybody what goes into that process.
Yeah, so essentially now that we've finalized essentially how much we are putting towards the bills, I'll call it that, how much we've spent, we now will meet with the CFO, the auditor, all the different individuals from the city to discuss how much tax revenue we have to raise, excuse me, to pay those bills. And then we have a split tax base here in New Bedford. And so we have the residential tax and a commercial tax base. And so we can choose to say everyone pays the same here, but essentially we can choose to offset to say we want commercial tax base to pay a little bit more to offset the residential tax base. So we'll discuss to look at the numbers to say, okay, let's shift it a little bit more over for the commercial tax base, which we'll typically do because of the fact that the commercial tax base can sometimes offset their costs by raising prices, as opposed to the residential homeowner who, if you don't have enough money, you don't have enough money. So we often look at that to try to find ways to shift that split tax rate. So that's what we're looking at tomorrow, is the tax rate, to see how we can help lift the burden off of the residential compared to the commercial tax base.
And, you know, the average caller, average listener is saying how the taxes just keep going up and up and up and up. But in actuality, the tax rate has not. The tax rate has gone down or stayed the same in recent years.
Yeah, that's a tough conversation to have, because of the value goes up, but then the rate comes down. So, as you know, the rate can come down, but then if your value is going up to you, your bill's still high. So that's the challenging conversation to have. But, you know, when we pass the budget, oftentimes you'll hear a colleague say, well, the tax rate's being set now based on, you know, when we have the cut night. Because if the budget is high, then the tax rate is basically already set. Or when later on in the year, when the administration is trying to add money back in, that's going to contribute to a potential higher tax rate. So tonight is just essentially solidifying that. Tomorrow night, the 18th. It's just based off of the budget. And so I do understand where some people feel as though, even though the tax rate has come down over some of the years, you're not feeling that because then the assessors look at your home value or your property and say, oh, well, your value's gone up, the tax rate's gone down, but the overall value's gone up, so then your tax bill is going up. So you're not really feeling that rate going down.
Yeah, people who have no plan to ever sell their home, they don't realize, you know, the appreciation value doesn't matter to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they care more about what that tax bill is every year. But I will say this, you know, there's been a big push to be more vigilant about those tax bills and making sure people aren't losing their homes over those unpaid taxes when people can't afford it.
Yeah, that's I'm glad that they've worked towards that, especially when we're seeing the victims of that are elderly, especially here in New Bedford. I think a lot of people don't realize that New Bedford's the largest in the Bristol County area of population of seniors. So I'm happy to see that we have built-in protections now for our elderly population that are able to age in dignity here and grow old in their homes.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, if you have a question for the council president, 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family.
All right, we are back with City Council President Shane Berger. We have a few moments here remaining. Now, we're on the verge of all of our upcoming holiday celebrations.
Yes.
We're going to have the tree brought out in front of the library.
Yes.
We're going to have all of these holiday things coming up.
Common Park.
People are going to be requesting you come and sing.
Oh,
yeah. So, I mean, but this is the time of year that New Bedford really shines, I think.
Well, both literally and figuratively, yes. Yeah, you know, I love this time of year. Holiday times are just, they're special for so many reasons, but I think you're exactly right. Just that sentiment overall in New Bedford, you see the spirit of New Bedford, or dare I say the motto of New Bedford. I often joke about the city motto of Lucem Diffundo, I diffuse light. But it just, for me, getting to see the different individuals that come out every single year that donate Thanksgiving meals, Christmas gifts. It's special for me because I often share about my childhood growing up and being one of those needy families that relied on those generous families that made sure that I did not go without. So it's special to me to see that continue on as an adult and be able to contribute myself. So it's just, yes, this time of year is very special to see the youth come out. And then also the Christmas carolers, you know, I do enjoy a good Christmas tune every now and then. So, yeah, I believe they haven't announced when the holiday Christmas lightings are, but typically it's the first Saturday in December. So I believe the downtown tree lighting will be December 5th and Klasky Commons usually on the Sunday, December 6th. But I'll wait until the city officially announces those dates, but that's usually when it is.
And the free holiday parking program already underway.
Yeah, so hopefully people will begin shopping. You don't have to wait for Small Business Saturday. You should be shopping small every day, especially because we have so many amazing businesses throughout New Bedford, from the North End to the South End. So I'm looking forward to maybe shopping early for Christmas this year.
Mayor and I. We wait till a couple of days before.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, it's hard for me because even if I do shop earlier, I take forever to wrap. And I'm one of those people on Christmas Eve wrapping until the early hours.
I just give gift cards and those come in a bag.
Like, well, I have a lot of nieces, nephews and one niece, but I just feel as though, like, as kids, you want to rip open a bag as opposed to like a card. So that's the only like issue I have.
I was always just like, I'm going to get you something you already have though. So let's take a quick call here before we got to take our final break. Good morning. You were on with the council president.
Yes. Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. There was a big, huge, I'll call it a huge article in the Sunday Globe about the wealth of the state and the middle class and the shrinking middle class. But basically, to make it quick here, the middle class has definitely shrunk in wealth. The wealthy class is like unbelievably exponentially gotten better and wealthier and richer. And like the millionaire tax, I think something should be done about the wealth of this state to give back a little bit to the middle class in the way of a tax base. Because a couple of months ago, the real estate people said that the millionaire tax had little effect on the marketplace of the rich in Massachusetts. They didn't leave, they didn't escape, they didn't really complain, and it's actually benefited the state. So a millionaire tax is definitely in order, given the balance and imbalance of our of our wealth status with rich and middle class. Mm-hmm. Just your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was a full supporter of the Fair Share Amendment, which a lot of people coined the millionaire's tax. I like to refer to it as the Fair Share Amendment, but a lot of people that try to scare people away from it use the scare tactic of, oh, it's going to scare away all the millionaires. It did not, and it contributed to, I think, almost $5.7 billion in state revenue. So I think that the caller makes a really good point, because we're hearing a lot of the same scare tactics in New York right now with Mayor-elect Mamdani and his plans for free transit, public transit for their busing and also for housing concerns. I guess to answer some of the caller's questions in regards to how can we move some of that money around to help the middle class. What I would say to that is, I think the Commonwealth here in Massachusetts, the overall thought process behind the Fair Share Amendment is the money being invested back into our roads, our bridges, our schools. They're hoping that is obviously helping our middle class, not directly through like cash and lowering taxes in that sense, but in sense of,
but if you can give more to the municipalities, they can take less out of the homeowners' tax base.
Not in those indirect ways, essentially. Yeah. So hopefully that trickle down effect, I hate to use that term, but hopefully, yes, we'll see more of those dividends in years comes.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Okay, guys.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
I got to get one last break in here. We'll be back to wrap things up in just a few moments. All right. In the final 30 seconds we have here, Council President Burgo, we have the story multiple times today on the news that America's favorite Thanksgiving side is stuffing.
Oh, okay.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Oh, geez.
I asked the important questions.
Now I kind of want to say stuffing.
You can say stuffing if it's your favorite.
No, I feel like it's so basic now. Yeah, I guess stuffing is what it's coming to mind.
That's what I look forward to the most.
I really do like Bruce's yams, which is like the canned.
Yep, yep. No, I'm familiar. I love those. Now, do you do with the marshmallows or you just do them straight up?
No, with just brown sugar.
I like them just right out of the can. I'll eat them right out of the can.
You could do that too, yeah.
Yeah.